This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 19th of April, 1962. The title of this lecture is Determining What to Run. This tape is 58 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions. Okay.
Here we are, second lecture, and this is St. Hill Special Briefing Course, 19 April. AD 12. And we're going to talk to you now about processes, recommended processes. I haven't actually issued an authoritative statement on this, recommended processes, for some time. And it's about time that we did a summary on this particular activity. Now, you're always going to run into difficulty on an interpretation. Interpretation gives you lots of difficulty, particularly if you do something else that isn't said, but something that is apparently understood in the statement. And nobody else understands it, but that way, but so forth. But nevertheless, in the absence of a recommended procedure, of course, you could make a lot of mistakes of one kind or another. And I'll tell you an optimum method of auditing a PC, more or less, as of now. There's some data through on this, and I've inspected quite a few cases in the last 2-3 months. And several things show up. Now, I told you that prep checking, we dropped prep checking out. And we only drop it out in the line of a permanent gain. See, we don't rely on prep checking for a long permanent gain. In the first place, you could make a long permanent gain, perhaps with prep checking, if auditors would go deeply enough. And it isn't that the prep checking will not produce results, it's just that the auditor isn't producing a long permanent gain with prep checking. Nevertheless, this does not drop prep checking out of your lineup, a long way from it. Let's use prep checking at the depth that auditors are using it and that they're being successful with it. Now, this is the basic formula on which I would audit a PC today. I would establish whether or not the PC was getting tone arm action, and then would adjudicate my future course on that basis. I'm not even telling you how you would establish this, don't you see? And get into 3D crisscross as soon as I was sure that the PC would get a tone arm action and that his rudiments stayed in easily. In other words, I'd get on 3D crisscross as soon as I auditorially could. Yeah, I'd get to it as soon as I could. I'm talking now as though you were auditing a PC in an HGC or in your own practice, something. That's the way I'm talking right now. I'm not talking about necessarily how we would audit a PC here or how you have to audit a PC here. I'd establish this fact, and if tone arm action was liberal and present, I would get into 3D crisscross at once and sail from there, doing just standard, flawless 3D crisscross, and I would get myself at least 20 lines. And in case I forget to mention it, 3D crisscross items are most beneficial, apparently, if optermed at once. In other words, if you get a line, opterm it, so that you don't have lines without two items. In other words, don't keep letting them slide. Apparently, this thing goes together better and runs better if it's done this way. That is almost an opinion, don't you see? I mean, it's better that way. All right. It can easily be done the other way, but apparently it's much easier on the PC. It gives the PC much better gains. His attention is right there on half of it, so therefore you can get the other half rather easily, and so forth. It'll probably save you auditing time, make the PC more comfortable, and there are apparently quite a few advantages to doing this. Okay? That's just almost an aside. But you get about 20 items, 20 lines, rather, and then you've got 20 lines, you've got 40 items, haven't you? So you'd wind up with 40 items. Now, somewhere along this line, with this many lines, you would undoubtedly have reached practically every part and parcel of the bank one way or the other. Now I'd go back and get the third item for the lot by assessment. I just go over these 20 items, I just read them off the PC and see which one was bouncing the hardest, and I would opterm it. Neglecting that one now, I'd see which one was now bouncing the hardest, and I'd opterm that until I had a line, a third rack for all of them. See? Now I've got three for all. See? Then I'd get four for all. Now I get five for all. You got the idea how it could go on? Certainly with that liberal spread, I guarantee that along about this time, you'll be finding the PC. That's a very broad look and expectancy of what would be a complete 3D crisscross. It'd get complete along about that time. You'd wind up with a cross-cut saw and it opt-termed timber. And then you would get timber opterming a cross-cut saw, and everything would start to cone down to this is what you got. And these were the items. The PC was being the cross-cut saw. And about that time, he exteriorized the cross-cut saw, and he'd be able to get into his body. And you got various things that could go on from there. Interesting. But actually, you're getting down. What you're doing is looking for the thing which the PC has been, and which he has been interiorizing into as. He's been this thing. He's been this thing for ages. And really, it's the first thing he's been, shades the rock. See, the rock was the first thing the PC had been. You got the idea? So, of course, if you get the thing, first thing that the PC had obsessively been, that is the last thing the PC will look at and exteriorize from. Now, that's a theoretical map of 3D crisscross without doing any auditing of the items. Now, you'll find that sooner or later, your situation is going to change and your early items will de-intensify. They'll start to drop out and the bank starts to fall apart and things that we're reading now aren't reading, you know, you get that idea. Only your last lineup reads. The early lineups no longer read. There isn't enough charge left in the bank to make them wiggle. See? Now, to do that, I would use, basically, the prehab assessment and lines from the prehab assessment. I would use all the suppressor lines. Pardon me, then I'd use the flows lines, and then I would use the suppressor lines. Any other kind of a line that seemed to have worked out as being a good line, I'd just get a good sampling of others, a lot. But they would be dominantly suppressors, flows, and prehabs. Yeah, they'd mostly amount to those three lines. There's three types of line. That'd give you lots. It gives you lots to work on. I can fully expect that I'll come up with some even hotter lines, you know, that you say, list this, the PC disintegrates in the chair. But nothing would change with regard to the procedure. I mean, your procedure's the same, what you're doing is the same. That's all standard. See? Where you get your lines from is could remain a bit of a variable without disturbing the whole lineup at all. All right. Now, that's like this. We set the PC down, and we look it over, and the needle's live, and it isn't scratchy, and the PC's rudiments go in, and we ask him some questions about this and that, and he gets some tone arm action, and we say, fine, and we just go right into listing, and we're off to the races, and we get 20 lines, and opterm each line that we get. And that would be the the way we would clear somebody, see? All right, that's fine. That's the way I'd do it. I'd make the test to find out which way this thing went. I wouldn't particularly depend on profiles. So I wouldn't depend on anything else. I just want to see that tone arm wiggle. Now, I'm not telling you at this time the best method of finding out if the tone arm will wiggle, because I don't know it. I haven't investigated it on a whole bunch of PCs that have never been audited before and found what was the best way to test whether or not the line was wiggling. But fortunately, you're not faced with that very often. You generally have a bit of history on this PC that you're doing. And if you don't have a bit of history on the PC, you could do several things. You could start to give them problems intensive or something like that. You're going to find out if that thing is going to move, see? Anything that would establish whether or not the rudiments can be put in and the tone arm will move. Any way you could establish that would tell you, that's fine, we'll go on and do 3D crisscross. Or, now let's get to the crux of the situation. We will do something else. It looks something on the order of a fixed beam. It sits there, and it goes beautifully from 4.75 to 5 and drops all the way back to 4.75 and then goes all the way up to 5. And this continues on, but as the session progresses, the tone arm gradually drifts down so that it's reading a bit lower. But at no time is it moving. You get the idea then that movement is different than drifting. Well, it is slightly. A constantly rising needle, for instance, will get you a constantly increasing tone arm, you see. You can also have constantly dropping needles. It isn't motion. It's just gradual. There's nothing happening. You might say it's tone arm action without needle read. If you can imagine this. These things will drift. During the course of a 2-hour session, while the PC drifts down one division of the tone arm scale, or he drifts up. That's not what you would call motion. Motion is regulated every 20 minutes and is usually in different directions. It's going up and it's going down, and it's going up a little, and then it's going down a lot, and then it's going up a lot and down a little. Got the idea? It's not just falling. Falling. And then this falling needle finally just sits. And if you were to continue the session to 4 hours, it would have sat the last 2 hours or something like that, you see? This needle behavior. Tone arm behavior. You can tell. It takes a little bit of observation. You can tell whether or not somebody's going to have a moving tone arm, whether their tone arm moves. It's not a very hard thing to figure out. You get used to it. You observe it. You say, that's it. That's a moving tone arm. And that isn't. That's all. All right. What happens? What do you do? Well, frankly, it's not enough to just give it up. I wouldn't say, well, he's had it. Because we have a much better solution. And that's a combination and an alternation between prep checking and CCHs. Now, you've got CCHs, which all by themselves, if you observe the PC's physical origin and take it up as an origination and query it, you can make mistakes on that, you know. I found out an auditor sometimes can't see the PC's physical origin. You know, the PC's head falls off and rolls across the floor, and the auditor says, give me that hand. So there is no vast shift of a case while doing the CCHs, because the auditor isn't really doing the CCHs, you know, isn't taking up the physical origins of the PC and isn't getting the PC exteriorized out of these little somatics and so forth, isn't doing a good job. We feel a certain delicacy right now because everybody isn't doing this uniformly all that well. You know, it's something you've got to get the hang of. I'm sure you can learn how to do it, but you haven't all got the hang of it yet by a long ways. But even if you didn't have the hang of it, you would eventually win. You get the idea. So we're operating kind of with a lead pipe cinch here. If you combine it with prep checking. Now, if you combine good CCHs with good prep checking, man, you got a winner. See? But if you combine indifferent prep checking, providing you miss no withholds, providing you don't run up a bunch of missed withholds on the case, and indifferent CCHs, you still got a winner. That's what we got to count on, see? We unfortunately can't count on a perfection all along the line. See, even indifferent 3D crisscross gets you some gains. And similarly, in not too perfect and not too searching prep checking, plus not too good a CCH combination, will still get you wins. In other words, we haven't got losing processes here, which is a good thing. But it looks to me that the CCHs have to be handled as CCHs, and prep checking has to be handled as prep checking. And you don't combine a session of CCH and prep checking. It looks to me like this is clumsy. This apparently is clumsy. Now, a person who can't as-is things because he is being at all, you know, he's being the whole universe, he can't as-is anything. It looks to me like this person really isn't going to as-is very much on the prep check. And at the same time, isn't going to as-is very much on the CCHs. But both of them will have some tiny workability. And they have a greater workability if interplayed. Now, you needn't be so mathematical as prep check one session, CCH one session, prep check one session, CCH one session, you see, because this ratio would vary from PC to PC. And therefore, you can't lay it down as a textbook solution. Beyond this, just what can we get done in a session? That's the whole thing. What can we get done in a session? Of course, it'd be a terrible mistake to prep check. Remember now, I'm talking about somebody you would audit, not here. You sat down and you handed them the cans and you started the session and you did something, whatever, to establish what kind of tone arm action they were going to have, even get their past history and illnesses. See, that'll establish tone arm action. You know, do your pre-clear assessment form and keep a good record of the TA action on it. Whatever you're going to do, you said this isn't much, man. This isn't very much. When we're talking about the past and his thinkingness, it isn't very much. Now, you might get good TA action as long as he was talking straight to you and you were doing some kind of a two-way comm basis where he was trying to tell you about something and his attention was totally on you. You might get more TA action than you really deserve to get. So the TA action test would have to be taken on the basis of think. It's TA action while he is thinking of something. Not TA action while he is talking to you. See? So your TA action while he is talking to you doesn't mean a thing, except he might have to have CCHs run. See? But TA action while you're asking him to think, that's the important action, you know? How many times you've been sick in your life, you know? Now he says so and so and so and so and so and so. And you've been getting this kind of TA action, see? You've been saying, well, he's been saying, let's see, would I mind talking to you? I guess I could talk to you all right. You seem to be very, very sympathetic. The attention square on you. All right, that tone iron action, don't hardly bother. You can note it down for the record, but don't take that as your adjudication. Now, let's see. What have you... how many brothers and sisters do you have? See? Well, brothers and sisters, yes. Brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters, yes. Oh, brothers and sisters. Oh, you want how many brothers and sisters I have? Let's see. Brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters. Well, I haven't got any. Well, all right. Well, how many times have you been sick in your life? Well, let's see. Been sick in my life. Sick in my life. There was this. No sense. Been sick. Been sick for a long time. Very healthy. I've never been sick in my whole life. All right. Well, good. What goals have you had? So on. Well, oh, I've had quite a few goals. Not many recently. Doesn't matter a damn what he's saying. Watch that tone on him, see? When you're asking him introverted questions. That's what'll count. Man, if you didn't get any more than that 3 to 3, 2, 5 to back to 3 again.
Or if it was just a big drift up for no confront, you know, just going up, 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 up. The more you ask him about think, you know, and so on, you notice you have to keep setting the thing and so on. 20 minutes have gone by. You've gotten 7.75 in 20 minutes. You betcha you have. It's rising. And he's getting out of there. He's just going past Arcturus by about now. And you audit him for an hour, and he's up to here someplace, and so forth, and he gradually comes on up. That's not tone arm action. That's drift. See, tone arm action is this way. Drift is just consistently up. Consistently now. See? All right, you'd say, brother, we've had it. That's what you'd say. Because you know several things. One, you know the rudiments are not going to stay in. That's what you know. And if you have to put them in, my God, it's like driving stakes with a candy stick. You know, trying to lay railroad rails, you know, with chewing gum. You know you've had it, see? So you're not getting an adequate tone iron motion. And so you would say that we is going to do two things with this PC. We are not necessarily going to go off and do nothing but slog CCHs. We're going to do CCHs and prep checking on this PC. That's what we's going to do. We're going to do CCHs, and then we're going to prep check in the direction trying to get his rudiments in. And a session of CCHs is a session of CCHs, and a session of prep checking is a session of prep checking, and neither the twain shall mix. I told you a little while ago I didn't know anything much about this. Well, I've seen a little bit about it. I haven't gained an awful lot of information concerning it, but it just looks clumsy. I don't know that it's bad. But I have found out the TA action on the CCHs at first test appears to be very good. In spite of the fact the TA action is probably lessened by the tester jumping in with the E-meter every few minutes, apparently it's very good on a case that ordinarily wouldn't get much TA action. We haven't finished that study either, but the first indicators on the thing are that it's very good, your TA action on the CCHs. You don't get a chance to observe it, you know, because you haven't got a long enough lead. The auditor down in Joburg who kept coming back to the Dermat asking for a longer lead on his cans. Finally, they blew up.
longer lead, how the hell, how many feet do you need? You know? Well, I have to have enough feet because it's got to have reach across the room, you know. So forth when the PC's doing 8C, you know, just across the room back. Nobody up to this time, nobody had ever told this poor auditor that he didn't use the... He just assumed that if it was auditing, you had an e-meter, and that was all there was to it. They sure were baffled around there while he was asking for these longer and longer cords. Imagine it was embarrassing. PC did a turnaround, you know, rapidly. But anyway, this indicator is here. We've been just handing a pair of electrodes and getting the tone arm position of the PC, and then he goes on for a little while. We've been doing it against an arbitrary time period, you see. Every 3 minutes, I think it was. And whatever the PC was being made to do, we just interrupt it and hand him the electrodes, and the TA action's pretty good. Well, that's fine. That's fine. But I have found this out about the CCHs. That if the CCHs turn into a wrestling match, the auditor's missed a withhold. Simple. Interesting thing to find out, isn't it? If it becomes a wrestling match, the auditor's missed a withhold. Well, so there you are. How are you going to get a withhold off a PC who's doing the CCHs? Well, you're going to do it by doing the CCHs, and if it becomes a wrestling match in that session, and you go out a two-way calm with a PC, and you can't talk him back into it again, it's a wrestling match, that's all. You finish up the session. And then you go in next session, you're going to do prep checking, particularly on the zero question of, have I missed a withhold on you, or has a withhold been missed on you? And you go ahead and straighten this out. Now, supposing you can't straighten this out in one session. Supposing you're leaving him way down the track and all hung up. Well, then you, of course, do prep checking for two sessions. And then if you're got the E-meter cord all wrapped around your neck by that time and you can't get out of that and it just seems like you're hanging yourself, you better go back to the CCHs if you didn't clean it up in two. I wouldn't go running a marathon here. I think the zenith would be about three before you went back to the CCHs, because you're handling somebody who probably has a poor ability to as-is. See? You can bury him deep, man. You can really push him down for the third time by doing making him think, because he isn't getting much tone arm action. Of course, you're prep checking against no tone arm action to amount to anything. So, you'll probably be in trouble. But nevertheless, you'll pick up enough missed withholds so he isn't all that mad at you. And he'll make enough gain toward present time in the CCH, next CCH session you run on him, so he isn't all that out of present time. And that seems to be going along very smoothly. And now your CCHs seem to be pretty well flattened out on this PC. You've done maybe three sessions, and they all appear to be kind of a little bit more even, you know. And so forth, and it looks like you get minimal change. Right? So let's go back to prep checking. Okay? Now let's prep check them. And we get something a little bit flat, feeling a little bit easier about it, and so forth. Actually running the prep check through a change to a no change. Same way. Let's go back to CCHs after that. Optimum would be, of course, to follow the auditor's code and to prep check him as long as he was producing change, to CCH him as long as he was producing change. And if you get too involved or too upset on making up your mind when, well, just follow the auditor's code on it, and it'll be all right. That, by the way, may not be optimum. You may be burning more time up than you should be burning up, but in the final analysis, that would get you there, you see. Because if you did that to in extremis, you might find yourself doing 60 hours of CCHs and then 50 hours of prep checking, whereas you might have been able to make the whole gain in 50 hours of prep checking and CCHs instead of the 110, you see? Might be that much faster. In the first place, you're treating them independently, not as two different processes. I say the theoretical method of doing it would be to flatten the CCH approach and then flatten the prep check approach and then flatten the CCH approach and so forth. And if you get too much in a quandary about what to do with the PC, fall back on that. Okay? But you could also run it this way. Pick up a gain. Here's another way to adjudicate it rather than arbitrary times. Pick up a gain on the PC and prep checking. Be happy about it, and pick up a gain on the CCHs and be happy about it, and pick up a gain on the prep checking and be happy about it, making a whole session, you see. Not running half and half, but making a whole session. If you're going to CCH, do a whole session of CCH, you see. If you're going to prep check, do a whole session of prep check. But try to bring the thing up to a gain, and I don't care if it tapers off and he's kind of re-stimulated at the end of the session or not, but nevertheless, he had a win in that session, right? That's fine. Well, let's do some CCH. In other words, gain, you know, alternate on the thing. You probably get it fine. You find yourself sometimes doing two consecutive sessions of CCHs and three consecutive sessions of prep checking and one session of CCHs and two sessions of prep checking. You see how what I mean? But you're processing toward a gain and a win. Now, what direction are you processing them? You're actually processing them into rudiments in. And that is your goal. Now, if you get rudiments in, you're going to get tone arm action. And that's the secret of it all. Not rudiments beaten in, you see, you're not going to get tone arm action. But if the rudiments are actually in, he's really happy about being audited, and he's happy about the environment, and he's happy to have you as the auditor, and so what, you're going to get tone arm action. Because you're not getting tone arm action because the rudiments aren't in. His rudiments aren't in life. He can't talk to people, he can't. Including you. And he can't be in a room, he can't. Including this one. See? And people have missed withholes on him, they have. Not only his boss and his wife, but you too. And also the cops sometimes. In other words, the rudiments of life are so wildly out that the person never really can slide into session because they're so out in life. So, of course, he can't ever relax enough to as-is anything. You know, he can't look at anything else except what he's in. He's walking around in a mass, and he's so fixedly and so constantly in this mass that only the problems of the mass are the problems of life. The problems of life are the problems of the mass, don't you see? He has a certain number of problems. Dogs bite you, wives desert you, walls fall on you, you see? And you've got to tell half-truths, you see, because untruths are vital to the situation, you see. And if you don't impress everybody with the fact that you're sane, well, they know you're crazy. Okay. And this is life to him. And his difficulties are simply a long parade of out rudiments. See, they aren't just out in the session. They're out on the street and on the bus and at work and at home and so forth, you see? They're just out. Well, it'd be a pretty good trick if you got the environment quite real to him and got him feeling friendly toward people and so forth, and you'd say, gee, you know, that you've just posed really the highest goal, actually higher than any psychotherapy has ever had on this planet. But they've never really had that much goal. Get rid of all of these bugs crawling on me. You see, that's about the highest goal psychotherapy has ever had, you know. He'll go on believing his wife is putting poison in his coffee and that sort of thing. It's just a normal course of human events, you see. But to not only get the bugs off of him, but to get the poison out of his coffee, you see, and let him actually sit down to a table, you see, instead of having to stand up at a buffet, and a few little things like that. You never thought about this. That'd be awfully high for formal psychotherapy. And now we're posing this, that rooms, environment, people, he's going to be comfortable in all this. He's going to be comfortable in space, and he's not going to be bugged up all the time every time he goes any place, and he's going to feel all right in crowds. And hey, wait a minute, we're getting up to a higher goal in psychotherapy has ever had, aren't we? And yet, you know, you could do all those things with the routine I'm laying down for you, Harry. See, the CCH and the prep check. You could accomplish them all. Not even going very drastically into the case. Just doing it by textbook. Take your prep checking and take your zero questions. Are simply your rudiments questions. And any subdivision of them that you happen to care about is your zero A. And then actually find a withhold before you go ask him the what. And then ask the what as a chain and clean it as a chain. You'll find out this will work pretty good if you do it that way. See? Not asking you to do some extraordinary piece of this and that. Now, of course, this person is not going to have very much tone arm action the first time you do the prep checking on him. It's going to be very small. But you're going to follow this with the CCHs. You're going to put in that first rudiment with the CCHs, but good. You're going to get him used to his environment, you see. That's one of the rudiments. So you're going to get that one going, and then you're going to get these other zero questions sort of cleaned up, particularly missed withholds. But missed withholds is not really part of the rudiments. Missed withholds is actually something you introduce in at odd intervals. Now, let's look at this. Let's look at this. We take a PC. We don't care if he's been audited or not been audited. Except for this, if he's been audited and you've got accurate session sheets on him, you can look at these session sheets and make a guess at whether or not he gets tone arm action on think processes. And if he doesn't get lots of tone arm action on think processes, we know where this case has got to go. This case is going to go into prep checking and CCHs right away. But when I say lots of tone arm action, I mean lots of tone arm action. This tone arm action is good. See what I mean? I mean, you really got good, nice tone arm action. No monkey business about this thing, you see. It's not mediumly fair tone arm action I'm now talking about, you see. 0.5 divisions. Now, by the way, in doing his past 3D crisscross, he might have had times, let's say in the 14 sessions he has had on 3D crisscross that you have a record of, in 11 of these sessions he got no tone arm action and to amount to anything, but in 3 he got good tone arm action. CCHs and prep checking for that boy. He got 11 sessions with good tone arm action and 3 sessions with no tone arm action. Probably continue him on 3D crisscross and see how it goes. You see? Because you sometimes have cases hanging on a certain line. The line, you've taken it inopportunely. There's no motion on that particular line to amount to anything. It's unreal to the PC and so forth. That could cause minimal tone arm action. But of course, this wouldn't happen very often, would it? So just to the degree that that wouldn't happen very often, that's acceptable action for a 3D crisscross. You see, 11, in which he got fine tone arm action, and 3, in which his tone arm action wasn't worth looking at. Anyway, that's probably 3D crisscross. Let's keep it going. For sure, 3D crisscross, 14 sessions he has had with lovely tone arm action on all 14. Obviously, we do the 15th session with 3D crisscross. You see? The 100% would be the lead pipe cinch. Now, this is adjudications of what you run, but I'm talking now about somebody that you would run where you are out just auditing a PC. PC comes in, signs up, you turn them over to a staff auditor, you expect the staff auditor to audit this on them. See? You'd adjudicate this. You'd see the PC had no tone arm action, worth beans, and you'd say, well, let's get real clever here and let's pull this PC up first by lifting the right side and then by lifting the left side and then by lifting the right side and left side, even though it is 1 millimeter at a time. We're going to lift it in a somewhat balanced fashion. We're going to get the think rudiments in, balanced against the environmental rudiments. The exterior rudiments are going to be balanced against the interior rudiments. See, extrovert, introvert, the old formula of ACC1. And they pull up kind of equally. And you'll find out that they'll both come up then. Of course, his happiness will run down if you make him think only. And his rudiments will start going out more and more furiously. You realize that the more a PC is having difficulty, the more difficulty he has. That's a hell of a thing, but it actually snowballs like mad. You realize the longer it takes you to get a 3D crisscross item, the longer it's going to take you to get a 3D crisscross item. Okay, the longer. Works in reverse, the shorter. But the longer it takes you to do a 3D crisscross item, the longer it takes you to get an overt or something like that in prep checking, the less likely you are to get it, and the more likely you are to have the rudiments go out. See, the longer it takes, the more the rudiments go out. That's what this is all about. That's because length drifts in the direction of no auditing. You see, it's more auditing to get an item a week, you see, than to get an item a month. That's obvious, isn't it? Well, if you look at an item a month session, going unthinkably enough, there have been them. An item a month session, you never saw such a cat's breakfast in your life. It's the most ghastly looking mess down over the end of the last about the last 2 weeks or 10 days of that. The PC's, the auditor knows the PC's rudiments are out because the PC has picked up the chair and splintered it with a crash over the auditor's head, you see. You'd say, oh, the rudiments are out. That's a fact. The longer it takes, the longer, the more they go out. And the more violently they go out. In other words, the longer it takes, the less chance you have of getting it. This will become recognizable to you someday. You get a big reality on this thing. You all of a sudden do an item up in 3 days. Well, items with long lists, yes, it takes a while to do an item with a long list and so on. PCs also go bang, and other things happen, and the bottom goes out from underneath them on some things, and so forth, all in the line. It slows it down, you see. Well, when this stretches out to a couple of weeks, you're already in bad trouble. That's getting nasty. That's getting real bad. Because from here on, after I'd say 8 or 9 days, the rudiments just go progressively out, because you're approaching a no auditing, see. And rudiments are most out on the least auditing. And they're most in on the most auditing. That is to say, the more the PC feels he's getting audited, the less the rudiments will go out. And as the session approaches this no auditing thing, the auditor's sitting there and the PC's sitting there, but nothing's getting done. And as the session begins to approach that reductio ad absurdum of no auditing, why, of course, similarly, the rudiments go out in proportion to no auditing, see? Until the rudiments go more wildly out than they are out in the normal operating life of the PC. See? You know, rudiments in a session can go further out than they are out on the person. You see? degree of responsibility he's accepting for an environment shows that he has to put on a good show while he's walking down the street and riding in the bus and that sort of thing. And in a session, he hasn't got that degree of responsibility restraining him. The rodents must go out further than they're out. Now, if you inspect this carefully, you will see then that there's every reason to audit in the direction of winds. The PC at first is giving you extraordinary and extravagant goals. You can almost tell the state of a PC by reading the goals he sets up for the session. Not the goals for life or living. The goals he sets up are his session goals. He sets up as a session goal. I like to be able to make the sun spin faster. Yeah, that's his session goal. That isn't an LOL. Session goal. Perfectly all right, it's an LOL, but that's what he set up for the auditor to do. Now, this PC has got the overt of setting up loses for the auditor. Do you see that? And the PC equally will absorb loses from the auditor. It's the overt motivated sequence, actually. Not that he has set up a lose for the auditor, but that he would, as represented in the goals, you see, shows that you have somebody who is just a sponge for loses. Now we get down to the feather brush for the win. This person would at first believe that a good effect, you see, would be the basis of the house dropped on his head. Then he'd know that happened. And he actually would beg to have the house dropped on his head. He wants the big effect. He wants it all to happen now. It's got to be instantaneous, and it's got to be big. And do you know, when you get a PC like that, the only effect he can have is the feather brushed gently back of his head. Not in front of his face, but brushed gently back of his head. He can just get the effect of the wind of that feather. And that will be all the effect he can have. But the funny part of it is he can have that effect. In other words, the worse off the PC, the tinier the gradient of wind. And you're actually raising them up little by little. You'd be perfectly content to raise them up little by little, because you'd be surprised what they consider wins. But they won't actually. You could change the PC that he had the form of an angel. Wings complete. Halo in neon. Just give him an utter complete change in the session. So he was in terrific euphoria. Everything else, he'd never find out about it. You think I'm kidding? The PC couldn't have that much effect. The PC's told you that he has to have that much effect. Don't ever buy it. Because he couldn't have it. PC at the end of the session is absolutely glowing. He has some feeling in his elbow. And he hasn't had any feeling in his elbow for some time. Feeling in his elbow. You can feel his fingers on his elbow. Terrific. Big game. You'd be surprised. Terrific game. He has actually remembered back below the age of 12. He's actually remembered something before the age of 12. Terrific win. Of course, he tells you he wants to clear up the whole track in just this session. He can't have that effect. Just the fact that he has said he's got to have that in this session tells you he can't have it as an effect. It's before the age of 12. And he finally remembers a car that his father had when he was 8. And he comes out at the end of that session, his prep check session, absolutely glowing, marvelous session, you see. You... You're trying to find a missed withhole on him, you know. You're trying to get something done. No, it's that little tiny effect, but he could have that effect. Ah, he's winning. It's all confidence, confidence, confidence. And if you continue to be consistent and not surrender to this demand for the tremendous effect, and go on and give the PC the effects you know the PC can have, and go on and give the PCs wins on the environment, and go on and give the PCs wins in his thinkingness, why, man, they'll come up by those tiny little gradients. millimeter on the right and a millimeter on the left, millimeter on the right, and that's how you build the Empire State Building. It got put up one block at a time. PC comes in and says, I want this building sitting here 13,764 feet and 3 inches high in this session. You get a broom and you sweep off one corner of one sidewalk block. And he says, what do you know? Maybe someday there will be a building here. He didn't ever think so before. All right. So the best adjudication is win on the one, win on the other one. Win on the one, win on the other. Now, the worse off a person is, the longer it's going to take to get a win. But I sure wouldn't try to prep check the PC session after session after session, and then CCHM session after session after session. I wouldn't stretch it out real long. I'd settle for little tiny wins, you know, and it might be amount to a session of prep checking to a session of CCHs, or a session of prep checking to three sessions of CCHs, or two sessions of prep checking to one session of the CCHs, you see. That's what it would maybe settle down to. But it would be what it would be for that PC. You'd see these little wins stacking up. Next thing you know, there's two things going to happen. The PC's going to get tremendous confidence in his auditor, if his auditor is consistent. He's going to get tremendous confidence in this auditor. And then you're going to see tone on action. Because he's going to get confidence in his environment. He's going to get some hope that something can happen. What you've done, actually, is sell him some hope. Done no more than that. He sees that the auditor's consistent. He sees the environment doesn't all of a sudden go out of plumb. His PC's been expecting all of his life for all the corners of the room, you see, to get into a rhomboid tetrascrudron. He knows it probably won't happen as long as the auditor's there. Whatever it is, you build this little thing up, stack by stack by stack, and the next thing you know, the PC has got enough confidence. When you see he's got enough confidence, he will actually start to look around. He will see that he doesn't have to be all of the things he is being in order to survive, that he can look at one of them. See, out of the 8 million things he is being, he can now look at one, while being only 7,999,999 things. That moment you'll start to see tone arm action. See, the tone arm action occurs when he's able to observe. He'll find out that it's safe to look at the auditor. So you'll see tone arm action. This isn't isn't either difficult nor complicated. You can make it easily much more difficult, much more complicated than it actually is. Because the processes you're using are absolute killers. I mean, prep checking, just used as prep checking. All you're going to use it for is to build up a little bit of confidence of talking to you about his difficulties. The thing is totally capable, if you dug deep enough and so forth, practically resolving his case. You're going to use it to straighten it up so he can talk to you about his difficulties. Huh? And the CCHs, which can blow psychotic straight through electric shocks and bring them up the other side bright and smiling and so forth, you're going to use them so that they can tolerate the auditing room. That isn't asking very much of the process, is it? Something like shooting grasshoppers with atom bombs. You see? And all you have to do is do the processes right. Now, in this particular class, we have not had the consistent case win going up the line that we had while we were doing a lot of prep checking. See, we were getting more gain proportionately while we were doing quite a bit of prep checking. There's two reasons for that. Prep checking gave the auditors a great deal of experience with the E-meter and getting rudiments in. It had that virtue as a training mechanism, and it also tended to give the PCs a lot of wins of the very small win nature that they could accept. Now you're running into the difficulty that the PC doing the CCHs is getting his rudiments out. So you better fill that gap with the prep checking. That isn't just for training reasons. That's for the case's reasons, don't you think? Now, how often you prep check this PC, and how often you do CCHs on this PC, on this course, we won't adjudicate totally at this moment. But the auditor's suggestions on any particular PC he or she is auditing, you see, are definitely invited on the auditor's report, what they think they ought to be doing next. Be monitored, perhaps, by space, by room, tend to get routinized more than it ordinarily would be. The reason we get off of that sort of thing is we like to have a unit for what is going on. We like to have a CCH unit, we like to have a prep checking unit, we like to have a 3D crisscross unit, don't you see? But the difficulties of this is some people are all ready to do, as cases, 3D crisscross, and some people are all ready to grind along, you see, on a prep check CCH routine of some kind or another. If we could just get this person's missed withholds off on the number of things which they've done to PCs, you see, and other auditors have missed on them, he'd straighten out and run like a bird, you see, on the CCHs or something. You know, it's the case put together. Or he actually straighten out and run like a bird on 3D crisscross. So you can't have a total relaxation of this thing, because all auditors have to have some reality on CCHs and 3D and prep checking, as well as 3D crisscross, you see. You're going to run into tougher cases off this course than you will find on it. So, therefore, it's actually comprised of two auditing units. And the two auditing units consist of the CCH prep check unit and the 3D crisscross unit. So that people can be in those grades and pushed from one to the other, and regardless of whether they have tone arm action or not, could be expected to find themselves in the prep check CCH unit early in their training. Now, what would happen if a CC went all to pieces on 3D crisscross and we got no tone arm action, they were all tied up and we didn't know which end this thing was going, we couldn't keep the rudiments in? This would be in your own practice or here in school. This unit, and so on. The only one thing that you could do with them is put them back on the other routine, isn't that right? Mm-hmm. You could transfer these things around. But if you remember the lectures on interior, exterior, introvert, extrovert, and so forth, you will see that there's good reason in theory and apparently in practice here to use the CCHs and prep checking as a pair. There's good reason to do this. And I think would speed up the progress considerably. Regardless of how it's used on this unit, regardless of what you walk into on this unit, in this particular direction, that is, at the moment, how I would recommend that a PC be processed in an HGC. That's without any training considerations involved, without any auditor skill considerations involved. If we had all that perfect and set up, I would see that PCs were audited just the way I have described them in this lecture, okay? Thank you.